ABC News. Good evening, I'm Noni Edwards.
The reality is that most of the travel routes that take us from Australia to places like that in Europe and in the UK go via the Middle East. There are alternatives, but I mean, what does that mean for confidence levels for those of you who have trips booked, maybe heading off potentially in a few weeks' time? Max Najjar has been associated with the tourism industry, looking after people going overseas for, what, nearly 50 years now, Max, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 48 years actually this year.
48 years, yeah.
So, yes, been through a lot.
So, I mean, things got challenging enough for people heading to the UK with the changes to the passport requirements, if you happen to be a British subject. Now getting there and the confidence to actually book in advance, what's going on in the mind of travellers who are looking to head to the Northern Hemisphere at the moment?
Well, of course, at the moment, we're sort of dealing with what's happening right now. Yeah. And the situation now is pretty critical, as you can all understand. Now, people's confidence, I'd have to say it's sitting on the fence, to be honest. And those who wish to book and stuff like that, even if you took travel insurance, it's not going to help you much. If there's a war, civil commotion, unrest and stuff, that's not going to help you anyway. But I think, yeah, you are right. There's a bit of a lack of confidence at the moment. But I've been doing this since 1978, and I think we will certainly get over this. I know that we will get over it. It is fairly critical as we talk, but we tend to have a resilience in the travel and tourism industry, Spence. It's quite amazing that we can actually work around it with different permutations. But at the moment, people are still booking. They are booking not as much as they would like to book. River cruises or flights or tours or hotels, meet, greet transfers. Yep. Bit subdued at the moment, but that is what we expected to happen anyway. But we're focusing at the moment, Spence, on exactly what's taking place overseas. We've got our eyes and ears on the ground as travel agents, and we're just making sure that everybody's assisted as best as we can, and even placing people on flights, and hopefully the flights will take off.
So what about, this is obviously a little bit of a diversion, what about those who might have gone overseas maybe, you know, like 2-3 weeks ago, before we saw what was going on in the Middle East, who are now trying to come home? How many are looking after in that situation?
Look, I'd say there'd be at least, without a doubt, there'd be at least 50 or 60,000 people from America, Canada, Europe, Asia, Middle East, you name it. From our point of view, from Axis Travel's point of view, we've actually rescued everybody and everybody's staying put and safe. But most importantly is this, and I keep on telling this in the media, you know, if you're going to book yourself a flight and then meet, greet, transfers, hotel, cruises, tours, and you do it yourself independently, you're going to have to go back to 5 or 6 or 10 different components and find out what the hell is happening. If you book it through a travel agent and trust their services, then you've got one contact, and under legal liability, we have to communicate with you, and we have to take care of all the components that you've booked.
See, that was going to be my next question. For those who opt to do all the itinerary themselves, this really is complicated, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I'm putting out fires all the time. Unfortunately, you know, people who have not booked through a travel agency or myself, they don't have to book through me. I don't care. I mean, just book through someone who's a professional, qualified, ATIA-approved travel agent. One phone call and they'll take care of it. I'll give you a really simple example too, Spence, if I could. Most people who book do go through a website or what an online booking engine or something like that, yeah? Say airfares. Just talk about airfares for a second. Now, their uptime is between 70 and 80%. That means they crash, 20% of the time, say. That's airline websites. And so many Emirates, Qatar, Qantas, Singapore, Cathay Pacific, Finnair, British Airways, United Airlines, they've all crashed in the last week. A travel agent does not use the consumer websites. We have our own computer reservation systems called Sabre, Amadeus, or Galileo. Their uptime is 99.9%. And I'll give you a simple example. We had four of them yesterday who went through to a particular airline's website. They kept going up and down like a yo-yo. We were able to get them out, and we wouldn't believe where it came from, Beirut. And we took them from Beirut through to Athens, Athens through to Helsinki, Helsinki, Singapore, Singapore, Sydney. So there are permutations that travel agent can use through their computer reservation system that there's no way a solo website can do. That's if it's still up and running. And that's another thing that you need to do. We have to look at what can they do to assist you. And if you're going to pay a nominal fee to a travel agent, I think it's worth your life. I think it's worth a couple of hundred or thousands of dollars. It really, really is.
Mm. Now, you made a point there before about any insurance claims. So let's say I have booked through a travel agent, and I've booked to go on a river cruise through France or whatever, and I'm, booked to go on a flight via Dubai now and then to, France or England, wherever it is. And I don't want to go because of the challenge in the Middle East at the moment. What's my option there, insurance-wise? Is that just going to cost me money, or what's the option there?
I'll give it to you really straight and very simple. Let's just say you haven't left Adelaide, for example, Australia, right?
Yep.
If you have not left Australia, do not cancel. Again, do not cancel your flight or your travel or your cruise or anything. Let the cruise company and or the airline make the initial move to cancel, because if you cancel, the insurance policy is put under voluntary cancellation or amendment and you are buggered. That means you have cancelled deliberately. We're not going to pay you. So they actually don't cover war-torn areas, commotion, riots and stuff. So the big warning is, and I can tell you this, one airline manager who remained nameless, who was a bit silly the other day and said, oh, cancel all your flights and get your refund. That's dumb. A, if you do that, as I said, you fall into the trap, the insurance guys won't pay you. And B, it may be connected to a hotel or a cruise or a tour. Then you're going to, all those other three or four components, they're not going to pay you back because you've cancelled voluntarily.
Mm.
So you've got to be so careful. Do not cancel if you're going out tomorrow, next week or 2 weeks' time. Let the airline make the first move. And if you have booked direct, you'll need to keep on checking the 1-800 number or 1-300 number or their website. But preferably, if you go through a travel agent, let them hold it, because legally, under the auspices of ATIA, A-T-I-A, the Australian Tours Travel Industry Association, and IATA, the travel agency is liable to help you. They've got to get you out of the poo, or they've got to at least communicate with you, and that's the big thing that is there. And I've been doing this for too long to sort of keep on repeating myself, but we had COVID, we had the pilot strike, we had the Iraq war, had September 11, you name it, we've had so many issues. People clamour towards the travel agencies then, and then when it hits the fan, they forget all about it and they come back and do it themselves and book direct. I mean, that's cool. You can do that. I don't mind. Everyone's got their own prerogative, but I know where I'm standing.
If the flight is cancelled as a result of hostilities of war in the region, will your insurance cover that loss?
They will not cover the airline loss, but here's the good news, Spence, is that most of the major airlines have been fantastic. In the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, if you're supposed to be departing, they will give you a full refund of your air ticket and they allow you to do that. So you'll get, say, one portion is the air ticket, right?
Yes.
You can actually apply to Emirates, Qatar, Qantas, Singapore, Cathay, and we would put it in for a refund. It takes 21 to 30 days to get your refund money of the airline portion. But that's because the airline have cancelled, correct? Which is great. Here's the little problem that is committed to that too. It's like a domino effect. You get your money back from the airline. But what's going to happen for the hotels, the cruises, the tours? If they don't give you the refund, then you're buggered because the travel insurance won't help you. So you need to have component by component to see if they're going to give you a refund. And some are giving full refunds, which is great. Some are giving at 12 to 18 months. We'll let you come back on the cruise or the tour in 12 to 18 months' time, which is fantastic. So the travel industry has been working very closely with CATO, the Council of Australian Tour Operators, and that's who you should be booking your travel through, and they're actually accredited with the travel agencies, and they're wholesalers and suppliers. And if they say you can't come on the Insight Tour, you can't come on the, say, Acacia Cruise, and you'll get a full refund, that's component number two. You get your money back on that. So you don't have to make a claim on insurance because you're going to get your money back.
Okay.
So let the operators cancel first.
Okay. And then if all else fails, you know, go cap in hand to the insurance company.
And the insurance company have been flexible, Spencer. I'll just tell you something that came out this morning. They've been quite flexible, saying, look, even if you won't get your money back into this, everyone's going to be on a one-to-one basis. So let us know what it is that you're out of pocket, and the insurance companies, most of them are saying, come back to us and we'll consider what the claim may be, which is pretty good. Because an example is, if you're stuck in Dubai and it's costing you $800 a night for a hotel, and you know that you can get out within 24 hours, say with Finnair via Helsinki, they'll say, hang on, the ticket's only going to cost us $2,000. If you stay there for another week, it's going to cost you $5,000. We'll pay for it. So we're actually finding that it's not too bad. Some of the insurance companies are working in harmony.
I was stunned that I saw missiles targeting the airport at Dubai. I just don't understand. I just don't understand the rationale behind that. And now, Max, there are alternatives if you wanted to fly to the Northern Hemisphere, because obviously there's that. But there's also Singapore Airlines that go via Auckland, then LA, and across the Atlantic that way, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah, the permutations that we use as travel agents, I'll just give you some of the ones that I've used myself. We've taken them via Helsinki up the North Pole area type of thing. We've taken them via Japan, via Anchorage. Unfortunately, via America is a bit of a pain because you're still, even in transit, you need a visa. So we try and take them via Canada instead of the United States.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, little things like that come into play. And as you know, with the UK, they've got that really dumb passport conditions, which is a bit of a hassle. So there are definitely other ways. And of course, via Singapore, Hong Kong and stuff. The problem you got with some of the airports, though, Spence, is that they don't have the capacity to handle all the passengers that we're trying to move out of the Middle East. So we have to be very careful. Singapore's not bad. It's a pretty big airport, you know. But Colombo Airport, stuff like that, and even the airports in Bali, they're not that big. So although we may say verbally we take you out of the Asian region or via Asia, we've got to make sure that you can get bums on seats and the airports are not too congested. So, yeah, there's about 7 or 8 different ways that we get people out, and it is actually working well. The one thing I think that the ACCC should look at is how some of the airlines what's a nice word? For rorting the system. Okay, they're rorting the system. And you like to pay $12,800 to go one way, which we had to do for some flights. It was crazy, just one way to Sydney in economy class. That's crazy.
Well, hang on, no, stop. You had to pay $12,000 one way from where to Sydney?
No, $12,800.
From where?
We got the last flights coming out of Kuwait, and we also got, and it sounds really bizarre because they're just about to close the airport again, Beirut Airport up to the north area, and that's what it cost us. By the time you've added 2 or 3 different airlines, it gets really expensive. And there's even media reports of somebody paying even a lot more than that. So they're sort of rorting the system sector by sector, and I find that's a bit and I think they probably can't do much because it's going to be, the flights are emanating from another country, not from Australia, so maybe the ACCC can't work on that one, but it's just crazy. 12,800 one-way economy.
Good grief.
It is. And look, they did this over COVID, Spence, if you remember that.
Yes.
Domestically and internationally. And they're sort of doing it again. And I don't really like those airlines. And a lot of our clients have got really good memories. I certainly do. And we just keep our distance from those airlines. My apologies in the future. So it's something you've got to be very careful of. And there's also the ground operators too, Spence. You've got to make sure, whether it's now or later, make sure you go to reputable companies who've actually got staff members in the countries you're going to visit, be it Egypt or be it Syria. Or be it Israel, or it doesn't matter, Dubai. And that's where you've got to be very careful. You need to make sure that the operator is a good operator with people who are living and breathing on the ground. And some of the operators are really excellent in doing that, like through travel agents. They've got people on the ground who speak and they're physically there. And you can actually hear in the background, which I've done a few phone calls in the last 24 hours, you can actually hear the planes or you can hear the bombs and stuff like that. And they'll tell you how to get out from A to B, and they're actually on the ground. So really good operators are important. Members of CATO, such as Sun Island and people like that, who've got people on the ground talking their language, not through the Western media, because a lot of the media doesn't give you the up-to-date information. You need humans who are living and breathing in those towns to make sure that they can help you out in case of an emergency. And these are all members of CATO, and they're all very good at what they do. So, you know, it's a lot deeper than just airline tickets. It's everybody who's involved.
A couple of questions from our listeners, if I can, please. Max, I know time is short for you. What if you've paid a deposit for a trip next year, and and there's obviously uncertainty about what, you know, how long this will extend, this conflict in the Middle East, and you're nervous about that? Is it an option for an agent to hold your deposit to potentially delay going by a year? Is that an option?
Absolutely. 100% correct. And again, every supplier that I know through CATO are doing that. CATO, again, if I just mentioned, they're the Council of Australian Tour Operators, where most of the wholesalers and suppliers are members of. They're accredited. They've got financial guarantees against them, and travel agencies use them. We're getting up to 12 months where they say, you're going in June 2026, and I'm hesitant. I've only paid a deposit. Can I delay? And everyone of them that we've approached have said absolutely. They're giving us 12 months leniency to book the same tour in 12 months time if that's necessary. But you know, I've got a bit of optimism in all this. I think that the players in this war zone area, they're going to get a bit sick and tired. They'll see how it's really ruining the entire economy of the world, and I just think there's going to be a bit more silence coming down. Not now, I think it's got at least another week to go, but my confidence based on my experience is that they'll wake up to themselves, these players. I just call them players. players at the moment in the war and say, this is crazy, guys, come on. And even now we've got some flights, as you know, with Emirates who've come back into Australia. They come into Perth and stuff like that. So as soon as they find there's a break and they can actually do something with air traffic control and the airspace, they're getting the people out as quick as they can. Only disappointment I've got is I don't understand why some of the Emirates flights, Spence, have actually come with empty seats. At that part, I'm a bit confused. I don't know why they haven't been filled.
Yeah. Look, the other point, and you talked about how much you're paying for one-way flights at the moment, the inevitability is, I mean, we're already seeing this, you know, in domestically in the price of fuel. Aircraft use a lot of fuel. So we can expect airfares in the next few months to go north, can't we?
Absolutely, and domestically, internationally. And I reckon there's another one which a lot of people don't look at, but when you issue an airline ticket internationally, there's what they call a security charge that is placed upon each air ticket. It's sort of embedded in the air ticket, and as travel agencies, we know about this. I reckon the security charge and the fuel surcharge, two very important areas, are going to increase dramatically in the next week. And they're already doing it. And when I questioned one of the airlines where they're charging so much money to get from A to B, and that was their first come on, they said, we've got limited seats and we are charging more for the fuel. So I think, yeah, the answer is yes for sure, Spence. And that's going to be a problem for our economy in Australia and worldwide, as you know, too. And also the staff, too. A lot of them are working 24/7, 12, 15-hour shifts, especially in the Middle East. And I think good on them. They're doing a brilliant job. And travel agencies are working 24/7, too. So, you know, I think we've got to put a bit of emphasis on the fact that, yes, there is going to be an increase in airfares and stuff like that. And if we look at the reverse side, Spence, tour companies, cruise companies, hoteliers, they're going to lose revenue because people can't get from A to B. So what do you reckon is going to happen there?
Well, they'll have to make amendments, won't they?
That's it. Yeah. Just like COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
And up goes the prices again. It's really affecting. And I don't reckon the politicians, Spence, this is just a side. I don't think they understand economies. I reckon they really don't understand how it affects the normal human on the ground.
I guess the only silver lining here, Max, and this is what we saw during COVID as well, is that we're likely to see a surge in domestic tourism, aren't we?
Yes, I think so too within Australia. But again, at the same time, that's going to be affected by fuel. But I think you'll see that's going to be happening. And also short sector flights to Asia, short sector flights, you know, to other areas instead of going through there. And even if they just go to Asia and they don't go to Northern Europe, if they do go to Northern Europe and reverse what I said to you before, take them via, you know, the northern parts, say, be it Tokyo, Anchorage, you know, Helsinki, whatever, and still get across. But certainly I think short haul travel to even the South Pacific is going to be an increase as well if this continues beyond a week or so. And some of our clients have already asked us to do that. Can we get the deposits back? And most of the tour wholesalers have been excellent and say, look, you can't go in March. So, yeah, we'll give you your full money back. And we're putting that money towards domestic travel or South Pacific Asia.
Something else, yeah. Max, you're always very generous with your time. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Max Najjar, who has nearly five decades' experience in the travel industry.